is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, LFS Credit and Finance Solutions, Green Genie SEO, and our newest sponsor, Rainmaker PR. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-833-437-8465. That's 1-833-HF-STINK. And now from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center, here are Humble and Fred.
Yes, 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 children. Well, that was quite the start to our day. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Monday. 1-833-437-8465. Welcome to you and you and you.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. What can I do? What can I do?
Rather pleasant morning out there.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. I found it to be pleasant.
You know, what are you pointing at?
It wasn't freezing cold.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. No, I'm just wondering if I'm loud enough. Look.
Oh, yeah, you never punch those.
Well, here, look here.
That's all right.
You want to look right
beautiful.
There, big boy.
Right on.
Yesterday was a little bit of a detour. It was a weird winter detour. It was like we had a bunch of days in a row where, how did you just describe it? It wasn't cold. It wasn't freezing.
No, yeah.
Then yesterday we had a detour, though.
Yeah, but this morning coming out, it was pleasant. I think I can actually take my boots off and go back to shoes. Isn't that nice? One of those breakthrough points in the spring. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing my boots this morning, but I think tomorrow morning I will wear my loafers.
That's fascinating. Could you expand on that for another 3 or 4 hours? Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I took the dog out in the morning, and it was... The wind was whipping, and it was brutal for a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between it being like that in March and like that in any other month is you just go, okay, I'll put up with a couple hours of this.
Well, most of the week is supposed to be above zero, so we're getting there. And I believe, Thursday is the first day of spring.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Is it really?
Nothing but nothing but bright optimism here this morning.
Oh no, for sure.
I've just bumped your mic back up.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. There's been
a lot of. Here's the thing. We'll just at some point we're going to have to explain all the stuff that's going on around us here in the building. But there's been a few things that the power went out again. I reset the board with the help of the great Jim Carr, the great Phil Hong. So the board has been reset. Fred's audio might be low. We're going to adjust it. Everything is in flux right now.
Everything should be fine.
All right.
Everything should be fine.
Okay. Well, those are our problems, not the problem of the listener.
No, I think the listener wants to hear more about your boot to shoe.
Well, I think they can relate to that.
So it's not a wooden clog, and it's not a pair of flip flops.
It's not a clog. It's not Crocs. It's not spring Crocs.
With or without laces.
When I was a kid, I had one of my buddy's dads used to say, "Bug us the odd time." If we did something odd, he would say, "Ooh, you're a little light in the loafers, aren't you?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are you looking at? Oh, you're in there.
Yeah.
I haven't taken the dog out for a couple of days because he did something to his paw.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this is relatable. The other day, I think Thursday, it was a kind of a nice day, but where I take him, there's a huge field. It was just all ice like a week ago, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
And now it was ice and water. So he's running along, and I could see his foot break through.
Mm.
And then for the last couple of days, he's just been limping slightly.
Oh.
He's better today. You know, it's funny. Is there anything more pathetic, in my case, Stan, than a dog kind of half limping along?
No, and it's horrible.
It's just because I knew it wasn't serious. Like, I'm not taking him to the vet. Sorry. But I could just tell he was a little bit favoring one of his four, because he has four legs, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Poor fella.
No, it's awful when they can't tell you what's wrong.
No.
I told you that probably I was brought to tears more by this than anything else I've ever seen on television was Oprah had the dog on with no front paws, and they taught it to walk on its hind legs. Oh. And it came walking out onto the stage. Like walking like a human being, because it had no front paws.
I've seen that.
And the thing is, it came out, and it's just like any other dog, right?
Right.
Happy, and it was looking for a treat, and was bouncing up and down. And
it's also looking for some legs.
Yeah.
he was like, hey, treats are great, but could someone sew some legs onto this?
Torso. I literally sat on the couch and sobbed.
Oh, bubba.
And then I'm thinking of all the horrible tragedies I see on television, on the news, and it doesn't has no effect on me.
Mm-hmm.
Like people dying all over the world, and then this dog bounces out with no front paws, and I'm a blubbering fool.
Well, if we could just get some of those people, you know, onto Oprah. Just kidding. Maybe then your black heart would melt.
Yeah, but if you get the chance. That's on your YouTube there. You can see it.
I've seen it.
If it doesn't make you cry. No, I'm talking to the people.
Oh, the people are you talking to me.
If that doesn't make you cry, then you have a rock for a heart.
The Knowledge Society is an unbelievably cool program for smart high school students that is a talent incubator, Phil. Mm-hmm. They'll be with us today. One of our guests. These kids are developing technology that tackles some of the big challenges globally. And they're going to be with us as well. We'll break down all the... we haven't seen y'all in a few days, so we'll break it all down for you. We'll break it all down. On Twitch, we're live this morning. Everything seems to be working there. We have 197 followers. I don't know what that means, but it's... You know, here's the thing. The biggest guys on Twitch, the big podcasters and broadcasters, they have like 20,000 followers. I don't think that's attainable for us. But is 1,000 too much to ask for in this, the year of our Lord, 2019?
I don't know. I don't know how that... Honestly, I don't know how that works.
Hold on. What's your name? Sean? Sean?
We can go higher than that, for sure.
I don't think so. I think it's that. Really?
Yeah, no. There's like comparable radio stations that started like us, and they're 6 months into it now, and they've got about 1,600, 2,000 followers. So.
All right.
Yeah, maybe.
Because here's the thing. This fall will be the celebration that... Humble and Fred 30th anniversary celebrations all this fall, 2019. That would be something cool to get over 1,000, maybe 30,000. Can we get 30,000? We're not going to get 30,000. Because that would be 30 years of Humble and Fred, but no, it's going to happen. No.
Well, when I look at this screen, I don't see what the incentive is for anybody.
To follow, right?
Wanting to have to look at this every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's just me personally.
Oh. Yeah, it's
like I'm having trouble looking at it, let alone people that don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what to.
What?
I mean, this is kind of counterintuitive, but yeah, what is it? Just so you can see us talk to each other?
And the thing is, it's not very attractive. That's the thing. On my side.
Really. Look at me. look what I got going here. You know, I got a tall, narrow head.
I got a tall what?
I got a tall, narrow head.
Better than a slab of Play-Doh. Look at me.
In the morning.
It's all for Phil.
Yeah, I think people want to see what Phil looks like. Anyway, here's the thing. It's a great service. If you can't stream us live for some reason, you can get great audio on Twitch. And is it this week we're going to find out how to get the subscribe button onto our landing page?
That is the goal. That is
our
priority number one.
Hey, Twitch. Let's talk, if we can, about one of the most famous Canadians... that I'm not sure the Fred Man would have heard of, and not because you should have, but just I'm just curious if the name I'm about to say has any resonance with you. She's just been signed by NBC to replace Carson Daly, who still has a show.
Mm-hmm.
Which I...
At 2 in the morning, right?
Something like that, 1:35. Did you even know Carson Daly was still...
No. Who's Carson Daly? I don't even know who he is.
Well, he's only had a talk show on NBC for like 30 years.
He has?
Yeah.
No. But what am I? Why would I? 1:30 in the morning.
So what did Carson? So find out. Carson Daly was. You know, he was on like MTV.
That he hosts one of the shows. One of the reality singing shows.
Yeah. Carson, yeah, the voice.
He hosts. Oh, he's. That's oh, okay.
He's leaving because of that. There's too much work on his plate.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what his name was, and I've been watching him on The Voice with my wife for a few years.
I mean, I don't know how long Carson Daly's been doing The Late Show on NBC. But
about 18 years.
So he replaced. 18 years.
Yeah, about there.
So when Letterman, who used to be on at 12:30,
mm-hmm. right,
he left NBC, and then the 12:30 show that replaced Letterman was Seth Meyers. Am I right? And then after Seth Meyers, at 1:30, there was this show with Carson Daly.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what time he tapes it.
The same time as Rush, 5 o'clock, 5:30. So Lily Singh is the name. Now, don't you guys say anything. Have you ever heard of her?
Lily Singh.
Lily Singh mm-hmm. is one of the biggest stars from this country.
Yes.
Purely because of YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Now, go, if you want, just not just you, but anyone listening, when you get a chance. Again, I say that because most guys our age, 45, 55, 65, will have never heard of her. I only knew of her because one of my kids had tipped me off about who she was a while back. She is a mega, mega star in the world of YouTube. Hundreds of millions. Like, it would be... She's also one of the high... She would be one of the highest... paid performers from this country. It's insane.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What does she do?
She does funny videos.
And songs and things like that.
But she's been a YouTuber mm-hmm. star for years.
Yeah, I saw her on a billboard in Malaysia. She had a live show going on.
Yeah, Freddie, this girl, this woman, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure if she's from Brampton.
She's from Brampton? Scarborough.
Ivy.
That was her song.
Mm-hmm. But she's beautiful and she's hilarious.
Oh, yes.
And she's been in some, I think she's been in a movie or two.
I just looked that up. That's what I was surprised. Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah.
But that's more of a doc.
Ice Age. That was one of them.
One of her voices, yes. Yes, Sean.
Bad Moms.
She was a thing about 5 years ago. Like, she's really popular on YouTube, if memory serves
right. But what would her YouTube... Like, she would have millions of subscribers. Mm-hmm. Just millions of them. Anyway,
says 10.5 million, does that mean a year? Or what she's made off YouTube so far?
I'm sorry, what are you looking up?
Well, I'm just looking at it. It's
her net worth?
Her Wikipedia thing, and she's one of the highest paid at 10.5 million.
Per year.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
You can do that with YouTube.
Yeah.
When you have had billions of views, plus,
and you wonder how many other kids or young people attempt what made her rise above the crowd, eh? I'd have to watch, I guess.
She's probably the right person, the right talent, the right time.
She's attractive. Am I allowed to say that?
Oh, no, she's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gone back. She started years ago. There we go. Okay, there's Chris. Chris, come on in for a second. She started years ago, and her whole family gets involved. But I went back and looked at some of her videos. She's really clever. And you ask an interesting question. Why her and why not some other kids?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? She was one of the early... Have you ever... Right. Have your kids... We're just talking about Lily Singh. Do you know who she is?
I have no idea.
I promise you, your kids do. She just got... I was just saying to Freddie, it's Chris Emanuel, is a friend of ours. She just got signed by NBC... to replace one of the talk show guys, which, and ironically enough, she would have more viewers to her channel than NBC at 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like a YouTube superstar from Canada who most of us have not heard of.
That's a new media now.
What's that, Bub? Here.
That's a new media now. That's where they're getting all the talent now.
Absolutely. But you wonder, why would she, now that I say it, why would she want that NBC gig? Why not, I guess, yeah.
Just try it. No, as before this morning, I have never heard of her.
I still haven't.
But I didn't recognize Carson. What's his head?
Carson Daly.
And I've been looking at him for years.
Carson, Mr. Voice.
Yeah.
Perhaps he doesn't want to do both sides of the camera anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because... Because
there's a lot, like you guys know, there's a lot to getting a broadcast together and doing all that stuff.
Or she gets to promote the YouTube thing and it'll get even bigger.
Yeah,
you know, where she makes her money is not just YouTube views. She also gets paid by companies to promote their products
like
on
product
Twitter
placement.
And product, well, and all that stuff. Like, I haven't looked yet, Phil, but I imagine her social media footprint's got to be in the tens and tens of millions.
If not hundreds.
But if, obviously, it's for... the youngins, a demographic that they're not going to watch her on TV. Like at
probably not.
Night.
But they'll watch clips from her show on her YouTube channel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. The reason Chris Emanuel is here, I don't even know where to start. A few years ago, Chris had a look around a house, and we had been talking about some of the spots in the garage and maybe a couple of spots downstairs that looked like they were starting to get a little bit of water damage, and it doesn't matter. Anyway, our man Ken from Clear Air Solutions came in here with his crew last week, and it's quite the thing. So we're getting it fixed. It's going to be great. And along the way, there are little things. And this morning, I came downstairs, and you know, Phil is talking to me, and there's the water in the toilet is. It's right up to the brim, so I bail it, and you know, usually when something like that happens, you just plunge it a little bit, and everything is fine.
Right.
But we have a special we have a special toilet.
Special toilet.
Special Humble and Fred toilet.
Special macerating toilet.
It's what? It's a macerating toilet.
Pump. Yeah.
Now, what's happened here? We've had a failure of the macerating pump.
Yeah. So that you have the macerating pump because the toilet is below grade,
right,
where it's lower than the drain that it's using, so you have the pump to make sure all the effluent goes
out. There's no draining in the floor in this space.
There's no drain in the floor, so hopefully it's just something silly like a faulty breaker or the GFI is not working right or something, and we'll just reset everything and cross your fingers.
The funny thing is the sink also. Well, it drains the sink.
It's the same. It's going to
so
the same spot.
So what Howard was doing was bailing the toilet, putting in the sink, and it was going from the sink back into the toilet.
Yeah,
and it took some time before we realized it.
And it took a long time because I was bailing it for like 20 minutes, and it wouldn't go down. So, and I kept plunging it, and it kept coming back up.
And I said, "Shut the water off." He shuts the water off, and it's still going up because I didn't know at the time that the sink also worked under the same system.
Right.
And then it hit me. It's every time they put that in, it's just going back.
Yeah, and so there we were. It's like, you know, Sean's handing me paper towels. Fred's troubleshooting it. I'm bailing.
Not really.
Hang on. I'm bailing the poo water. And Phil's like, when should I go to Singapore?
I'm trying to avoid the crap stuff. Trying to avoid the issue at hand.
So I was like, Phil, that's a great question, but right now we can't answer that.
That's rule number one, Phil.
Yeah.
Rule number one is it's always a great time to shut the up.
Listen, so the last time they were doing any work in there was Friday, and they've been spraying that chemical, so chances are it's
since
fine. Did you bring a mask and thing?
I did not.
We have we'll show them what we have. But just have a quick look in there. We have like a thing. It should be fine.
Sure.
That's a nice shirt.
Yeah, anyway.
I what?
Well, I don't know what the great urgency is for Chris to go in there. I mean, you shut the door, we can't use the toilet. You know, is it safe to go in there? That would be my question.
Well, I just went in there.
No, I know. That's a decision you made, but he's another individual.
Yeah.
That's a decision for him to make.
Yeah.
Well, they've done the mold abatement.
Yeah, already. all the mold's taken out, and they've been spraying.
Now they're just checking to see if it's actually been effective.
So, yeah, what Ken's coming to do now from Clear Air Solutions is to just check the air quality. Anyway, if you want to just show them the mask that I was, or we have a couple of masks, just have a quick look. That's what I just went in there, unplugged it, plugged it back in, and have a quick look around. If you want. If you want or not, just hang out with me and Stan.
Yeah, I came all the way down there for that.
I know.
Perfect.
He said you'd have a mask.
I do have a mask. I just left it in the truck.
Oh, it's here on premises.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I don't have it in my hand.
Well, I did you not think...
What?
When I asked him if he had a mask, I thought he meant, no, I don't have a mask here. All right, fine.
Meant on him.
On him.
In my hand.
Anyway.
Well, if you wouldn't mind getting your mask from your truck and having a look around there. We don't want you to hurt yourself, though. These mold spores are no one's fool.
Yeah, if it was going to kill me, it would do that already. Would have done it already.
Okay. Mm. By the way, if you're looking on Twitch, that's Chris is instantly the best looking guy in this feed.
Yeah.
although somebody said, don't worry about it. Like, all of us watching are winning any beauty contests, boys. So what you're saying, Fred, is we're ugly men broadcasting for other, you know, like-minded individuals. Except for now, Idris Elba. That's what GFR thinks. Chris is very attractive.
Can I go now?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
If you can.
Chris Emmanuel.
You want to avoid lifting that toilet seat.
No.
Okay? You're right.
Yeah.
Tough to wash your hands with that water.
Isn't that interesting? Because when I first saw the problem, I thought, oh, it's just overflowed like a regular toilet, and no big deal. And up to and including the moment you said, oh, because I was bailing it from the toilet into the sink.
I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, and I did it. I was doing it for quite a while before you got here, and it was having no effect on it, which was why.
But then when Phil said, or one of you said, that whenever you put water in the sink, it makes a noise, I'm thinking, oh.
Yeah, I said that 5 minutes later, and no one listened.
Well, I do apologize, Phil. I did hear you when you were trying to get some consultation around your travel plans.
I can see how the brain works, you know.
Also on the show today, there's another story. So Lily Singh, I only brought it up because I figured that not a lot of guys our age would have heard of her. Mm-hmm. And she's one of the most, I mean, there was a lot of people at that Juno Awards this weekend. A lot of them not anywhere near as famous as this woman is. It's crazy. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most famous Canadians most people haven't heard of.
Yeah.
Did anyone watch the Junos? I didn't see it. I know a guy that had been on our show, Dave Meharish, won in the comedy category. I think the very first time that the Junos have, the first time in a lot of years, had a comedy category, so that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch any of it?
I heard of it on Twitter.
You heard of it?
Yes,
okay.
Because I happen to have a Junos fan within my friends. And
did you watch any of it, sir?
I put it on for about 5 minutes and didn't recognize anything, so I turned it off.
Right. So this year, Shawn Mendes was the big winner.
Yes.
And new song. The Arkells won Best Band, I think.
Oh, did they?
Yeah,
Sweet
Best Group
Boys,
this year.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Sting made a surprise appearance.
Did he really?
Excellent.
Yeah. They shuttled him out to London, Ontario. Wow.
I guess he's in town doing a play.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because he was performing to the folks in Oshawa there.
He did a House of Strombo.
Yes, he did.
He went into George's place. I watched a bit of that. Something about the... The play is about a harbor in England, where they did away with the shipping industry and everybody lost their jobs. And
here's
a sad story.
Here's a little bit of Sting.
Thank you. Okay.
He looks good. However old he is, he looks good. He should be on Twitch. All right, it's just him introducing somebody. We got to take a break.
Did he not perform?
How do you measure success?
I think he's introducing David Foster.
How many awards you have? Or followers? I don't think so. To me, true success is having the ability and the privilege of helping people less fortunate than yourself.
Oh. Well. Oops.
No, it's interesting.
Oops. On the Humble and Fred Show, we say oops to that.
Mr. Peter
Shea. The House of Strombo video is very interesting. I think they shot it in the morning and he was tired from the performance the night before. But, man, I enjoy his work.
Mm-hmm.
The Sting Man?
Oh, Fields of Gold is one of my favorite CDs, albums of all time. Just love it.
Is there a particular song that speaks to you?
When We Dance is sort of a military song about something that happened in Central America.
Chile. Chile, Augusto, right. Pinochet. Mm-hmm.
Okay, South America.
Hey, Mr. Pinochet.
Yeah, I don't have that song, but I have this. We'll take a break. It's the Humble and Fred program live on Twitch TV, live on Funny 820. Hey, Hamilton folks. Hope your weekend went well. And, of course, you can always download the show at humbleandfredradio.com. We'll be right back.
You remember me when the West Wind. castles of gold.
Found the Sting song we were all thinking of, or you guys were. What did you think it was, Phil? Lonely Dancers? What was it?
They Dance Alone.
They what?
He also has When We Dance.
Oh, When We Dance?
Mm-hmm. This is They Dance Alone. This is about women who dance alone because their soldier husbands have been killed in action.
Mm-hmm. Political activists and the like.
That doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
No, it isn't.
Left-wingers.
But it's a beautiful song.
What does that mean, left-wingers?
Yeah, they're talking about this right-wing dictatorship that killed everyone who weren't right-wing. God. Yeah.
There was a big controversy in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, my hometown. Through the winter, it was this Norwegian village that had a big moose, and they were competing with Moose Jaw to see who had the biggest moose. Anyway, I got bored of the story, and they've come to a truce. But there's another Moose Jaw story in the news, CBC News, concerning another singer, not Sting. And I'll tell you what that is in a second. But first,
I've heard about this. Yeah.
Just first
what was the compromise with the? With the moose.
Oh, the moose. They've decided to
both have the same size,
or on each year, one of the in Moose Jaw, they're going to have a Norway day, and then in this little village, they're going to have a Moose Jaw day. I don't know. I stopped caring.
trade moose.
Every day last week, yeah. I had it on my schedule. We got to talk about the moose truce. And then I looked at it this morning when I don't care. That's another Moose Jaw story. But first, let's talk about the retirement Sherpa.
Hey, the Sherps will be in on Wednesday and update us on where we're at with our investments. He was on last week talking about business owners, ways to operate a business and, reduce your tax bill by dividending your family or creating wealth inside a holding company, proper expense claiming, selling your business properly. He's got all the answers. So not only for the sort of private investor who's just looking towards retirement, people that own companies and all the attachments to that as well. You know, Tim is a portfolio manager and Raymond James is a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. He can help you. RetirementSherpa.ca is where to find him.
Brand new client alert.
Brand new client alert.
Boop, boop. Boop. You know, I used to work at a car dealership. What do they do when... remember some car dealers do that? They ring a bell when one of the salesmen is closed a deal. Bing, bing. Clang. Where's our little bell? We used to have a bell. Anyway, we got a new client. Actually, it's an interesting thing because it's somebody that we've been working with as a PR company, and they've been bringing in guests on our show and finally decided that maybe they'd like to advertise. Rainmaker, RNMKR, Canada's leading cannabis communications agency, known for providing narrative creation, media relations, brand strategy, and advisory services to the most prominent brands in North America. Rainmaker has an expansive portfolio of clients including O'Cannabiz, Vapium, Blockstrain, Tinley Beverages, Origin House, Vapium, that's twice, you put Vapium in there twice, BioM, Grow, and more. Get a hold of them on Twitter and Instagram. It's Make It Rain at Rainmaker. Dot agency. I'm gonna. Can we put this up as a welcome today on Facebook, just so people can go check it out, or go check out Corey Herskew on Twitter and Herskew on Instagram. Rainmaker, make it rain at rainmaker.agency. All right. So Sean, just take some of that information, just the contact information, and hey. So Burton Cummings.
Yeah, and Moose Jaw. What is this? It's a noise complaint or something?
Yeah. Burton Cummings, I thought it was one of those things that was like an urban legend. But they were like last year. We had that story about Burton Cummings moving to Moose Jaw.
Yep.
Remember, we couldn't figure out why. Why would he could go anywhere in the world?
I know, but he still kept his place in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Apparently.
So there's a dance fitness studio in downtown Moose Jaw.
Mm-hmm.
The Kyra Clausen. It's called Dance Fitness with Kyra. Kira. And Burton Cummings, I guess, has a place next to the fitness studio. And he's like, he's all embroiled in a kerfuffle with the town council trying to get the noise abatement rule or something.
Yeah, isn't he above it?
She says the former lead singer of the Guess Who lives in a residential building next to her studio and has been coming into classes to complain. How weird would that be?
There's no time left for you.
You're doing all your dance moves, and then you get a knock, and there's like some old grumpy guy.
Especially, yeah. With I wonder what the music is. I wonder if they played, you know, Guess Who's Greatest Hits, whether he'd complain. Although that's not really music to yoga to, is it?
I don't think it's a yoga studio. It's a dance studio.
Oh, a dance studio.
She says, I'm trying to coexist and operate and run a business. It's kind of become an ongoing issue that's escalated quickly. I'm just trying to figure what he's trying to do.
Well, I guess they're going on into the evening, I guess, and it bothers him.
I guess, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe with that 90s dance music they're talking about.
And I guess they were there first. Before he moved in. So he's trying to change the rules afterwards when it's, you know, he should have done his due diligence before he moved in, yeah. Is the argument.
The fitness instructor was shocked to learn a petition has started to have a city bylaw changed for, I guess, zoning for noise and stuff. They just love a Moose Jaw business called Dance Fitness. The business is yeah, it's a picture of Burton Cummings in Moose Jaw. Where's this?
Maybe he should take some of those dance lessons. He's put on a few.
He's
right?
A toughy guy. Right?
Yeah. Really?
Maybe he ate at one of the Chinese food restaurants.
He should take the
restaurants.
Dancercise
But Burton
class.
Cummings shows up at your dance class in Moose Jaw. How surreal is that? It's almost like, why is this happening right now? It's almost there was like a in the time-space continuum. What is he doing there?
Right.
He's one of those guys that would have people, too, right?
You'd think. Wouldn't he have some... How's the poo-poo? Is it bad? It's bad?
It could be better.
What does that mean?
That means that somebody's got to do a shitty job.
But is the machine broken?
I'm not sure.
Oh, my God.
That luxurious 7-ply toilet paper you guys have been using has blocked the pump.
Mm. All right. So it's nothing really to do with the work that was being done. It's just the...
It's nothing.
Okay. It's not to do with them. All right. All right. Well, there you go. You know what would be funny? If Burton Cummings showed up, he's like working for the plumber now. I'm just everywhere.
He's got the right mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know how he'd figure he'd come out of that looking anything but bad.
Oh, yeah.
For so many reasons. Number one, the dance studio was there first. You know, then he moves in. Now he complains. He doesn't send one of his people. He's just silly.
He's just says. She says Cummings has called the police several times. How does that call go? Hi, it's Burton Cummings.
Guess who?
Guess who? Guess who? Phil. 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 Phil Hong for the win.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Guess who?
Yeah,
Burton Cummings.
Yeah. There's no time left for you.
Imagine that. A guy says he's Burton Cummings and wants to tell the dance people to keep it down.
You know, I have a feeling a lot of people in that dance studio would go, who's Burton Cummings?
Yeah.
Right, right.
A lot of people listening right
just
now are
like,
going,
I don't know who Lily Soup is or what's her
yes,
name.
Lily Soup. Yes, Lily Soup.
Is that her name?
Lily Singh.
Oh, Lily Singh. All right.
There is one Burton Cummings song that mentions Moose Jaw in it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's Running Back to Saskatoon.
It is Running Back to Saskatoon. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm just looking for here. Again, I don't know if a lot of people know this. Oh, super. It's a live version. Here we go. Moose Jaw. Just said it. How weird is this?
Working on cars. Here we go.
He's mentioned in another place in Saskatchewan you've never heard of called Moosomin. Back to Saskatoon. Red Deer Terrace, Terrace, BC, Medicine Hat, Alberta. Do you Easterners know, have you heard of Medicine Hat, Alberta?
Oh, yes,
have you
yes,
heard
yes,
of
yes,
that?
Yes.
Okay.
My, the very first album, this is the very first album I owned, was Guess Who's Greatest Hits. And that's late 60s. Greatest Hits in the late 60s.
Wow.
Crazy, eh?
Yeah. That is crazy.
That's how long they've been around. Mm-hmm. But what a voice that man has.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's amazing.
All kidding aside, I don't know where it's at now, but in his heyday, what a voice. I'm scared by, you know that song, I'm scared?
By his solo stuff, yeah, amazing. This also is one of my, this is one of my favorite songs of his, too.
Get your costume on, you got them lined up, waiting for you, glamour boy. Got them standing in the aisles, so don't hang them up. For $25,000, you can look like a woman tonight. For $25,000, I think it'll work out right. I think it'll work out.
Listen to that guy. So in the early 70s, and the legend has it that in a Rolling Stones article, Roger Daltrey at that time, the lead singer of The Who, arguably in the early 70s, one of the biggest bands in the world, said, who's your favorite lead singer? And he mentioned this guy, Burton Cummings, from a band that the interviewer wasn't familiar with, apparently. It doesn't matter. But he, Burton Cummings, with other rock singers, is regarded as one of the best. So there you go. And he's Canadian.
Well, no wonder. Listen to the man.
And meanwhile, now he's having a, you know, fighting with dance studios in Moose Jaw. Surreal. What's that, bud?
He's always had his own way to rock.
Yes, I'm right. Here we go. Everyone come up with their own Burton Cummings tie-in. Stand tall, Burton Cummings, against the fitness studio. All right.
I confront him, but I'm scared.
Did you have a hockey? Was there any hockey going on this weekend?
Yeah, Leafs suck. Anyway.
All right, okay.
Hey, the big Canadian sports story was yesterday in Florida.
Yeah, you were saying
there was
the
golf
kid.
In Florida. That Bianca Andreescu of Mississauga. How old is she? 17, 18 years old. Won $1.3 million. She won the tournament.
Wow.
Pretty significant.
Yeah, I'd say.
Don't know who she beat. The eighth seed. Who...
Lily Soup should have her on her show.
Probably. But not bad, eh? Little kid from Mississauga. $1.3 million payday for her.
Wow.
Which isn't huge, but women's tennis, it depends on the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But still not bad. Teenager, nice little ticket, wouldn't you say?
Do you think does women's tennis? And I can answer my own question. If she won $1.3 million as a first prize, I would say that that's more than Brooke Henderson won for winning the Canadian Women's Open last summer. I don't think they pay as much in women's golf.
What about that was the Canadian tournament? Would it be the same payday as international ones, or once she win in the States? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it would be. I just don't think women have cracked $1 million for an everyday tournament yet.
No, I was surprised when I heard about that payday, too, because same thing with women's tennis. It's just they're not huge TV sports, and that's what drives the purses. So
No, for sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of purses, yesterday's golf tournament, the Players' Championship, set a record for the biggest purse ever offered in a golf tournament, I think. It was 12 points some total. And the first prize guy, Rory McIlroy, ironically enough, on St. Patty's Day, an Irishman, won the biggest tournament in golf yesterday. I think he won 2 points some something million for first prize.
No, that was fun yesterday. That was a good casual observer golf tournament to watch. Because, you know, when Tiger's out, a lot of people aren't interested. And then you look at the leaderboard, and if it's not interesting, you know, it may not keep you. Someone like you would watch. But if I look at the leaderboard and some guy's got a 5-stroke lead, or it's a couple of guys I don't know, I don't care. But yesterday, I was riveted.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Just to watch it. At one point, what, there was 13 guys within 2 shots or something?
For about an hour yesterday, it would have been hard to call it. I mean, there were some guys like McElroy and Dustin Johnson that have pedigree and such, but there was a good an hour to two where it was pretty cool, where you really didn't know. I mean, I know that golf course, and I knew that it was going to come down to the last three holes because those last three holes have a lot of volatility in them, but it was pretty cool. I'm glad that Rory McIlroy won because in the absence of Tiger, he's one of the most exciting guys in the world in terms of how far he hits the ball and how dominant he is.
Well, see, I was really in Furyk's corner there.
Yeah,
that
cool.
would have been a great story.
How cool. He 48 years old, would have been the oldest winner of that tournament ever.
He's put a little weight back on. He doesn't look like Fire Marshal Bill now.
Skeletor.
Yeah. He just looked like...
he does.
It looked like he put a little more weight on.
He does. I was at Rachel's yesterday morning. I was watching the early coverage, and I said, this Furyk should never take his hat off. Like, it's frightening.
On that point, Ollie Schützenberger...
Ollie Schneiderdance.
He doesn't wear a hat.
No.
Which is very...
weird.
Because that's the way golf used to be. Rarely guys wore hats.
Yeah.
And now it's a billboard. So what would his sponsor say about him not wearing a hat?
I have no idea. Strangely, the week before, there was a guy on the tour. It doesn't matter what his name is. But he had a hat on with nothing on it. And that was getting more talk than... like, it was weird. It was weird seeing, like, no logo, no sponsorship, and just a white blank...
But I'm looking at Ollie. Even his shirt stuff, I really couldn't make out what his sponsorship
he's
was.
He's got some stuff on his collar, too.
But wouldn't that be an issue? But I guess he just says, I don't want to play with a hat on. It bugs me.
But step back from the sponsorship for a second. Who doesn't wear a hat in the sun? I know you do when you're golfing, don't you?
Yeah, I do. But if I don't have to, I like not to. Like if it's an overcast fall day or something, I'll take it off. Yeah, I'd rather. Yeah.
You would look good in one of those straw hats, you know, with the
and an old dirty hanky.
Yeah, you'd look good with a straw hat and an old dirty hanky just over here hung down like your gang colors.
But it just isn't it funny how that goes? Mm-hmm. Because back in the 70s they rarely wore hats, right?
Like that's right. Yeah.
Jack and all the guys, they didn't wear hats.
One of the first guys, the big stars that did wear one was Lee Trevino.
Mm-hmm.
But it is weird seeing it. So there was Ollie Schneiderjans. There was another kid from Mexico, Abraham Anser, who was also up there.
Mm-hmm.
For a while there, it was just weird. It was like the guys that you thought were going to win were sort of falling back, and those two kids, Ollie and this other guy, and then...
This Vegas kid is seems like a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, he's really good. He's actually, you know,
what's his first name?
Jonathan.
Jonathan Vegas?
Yeah. All right. And he has won not one, but two Canadian Opens.
Oh, has he really?
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. See, another guy you've never heard of. I'm pretty sure. I think he's won it twice.
But, you know, he's got a good personality.
Yeah.
That big smile and, you know, golf could use that.
Yeah, he's quite a character.
Mm-hmm. And he missed that short putt. He would have been right in there. And then on Friday was something else. So when Tiger took the 7 on 17. It's hard to believe, like, that can happen to him in that situation. I know it can happen to anybody, but, you know.
Jonathan Vegas won the Canadian Open twice. He successfully defended his title. I think he's won it in 17 and 18. See, the thing is, the rest of us think of hitting the ball in the water because we've hit the ball poorly. You know, you stand
right.
And you think, oh, I didn't hit the ball very well. I sculled it or I fatted it, and it's in the water. Well, what you don't realize about that shot that those... It's not just he didn't hit a bad shot. He just hit a shot that wasn't like they... Not like when we hit a bad shot.
Well, he was trying to place it, wasn't he?
Just what happened. He just got an extra bounce and it just trickled in.
Right.
But like when we hit a bad shot, it's like, oh, you know, it's like, oops. You know, one of those ones, oops.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different for those guys. They make good contact. It's just the wrong distance. And it's one of those things. The wind whips around there. They've got all those skyboxes. But what a great setting, though. You think about it.
It's unbelievable.
There's 20,000 people watching you hit a 130-yard shot. And even the best that ever play, you know, Woods and all these other guys, just crap their pants. Because it's just a lot of pressure. You know, you think about if you're a hockey player, you know, trying to, you know, hit the top corner from center ice. in front of everybody.
Well, that's what I found. It was sort of bittersweet because I was sitting there with my son-in-law, and we knew. So Rory has a one-shot lead. He comes up to 17, and it's like if he puts... if he puts it on, the tournament's probably over because he'll par it and then par the 18th. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, it was very exciting because if he didn't put it on, then it would have been, you know, up for grabs. And then the minute that ball hit the green, you knew that the tournament was over.
But think about it. There, it's like, what a great little hole.
Oh, no, fantastic.
71st hole of the tournament, and it's possible the guy leading could sink, could put one in the water and take a 4, a 5, a 6, or even a 7.
Because if that was just a regular par 3, it would have been,
it's over.
It's over.
Oh,
But this created so much drama. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine how he felt? Because he could have been, as you say, just like Tiger, put it on and then just got a bad spin or something.
That's
and boom.
Right. Yeah.
And then, and I'm thinking, I don't mind if that happens, because if Jim Furyk wins, that's going to be a great story as well.
Yeah, it was cool seeing Jim Furyk come back. He didn't play very much the last couple of years. He was the head guy of the Ryder Cup, U.S. Ryder Cup team, what they call him, team captain or whatever. Captain, yeah, I guess they call him captain. Mm-hmm. So, he's pretty good.
Well, they had to deal with his his eating disorder.
That's right.
Bulimia.
You heard it here first, what? Folks.
What?
Jim Furyk has bulimia. That's how we break it down here.
I'm worth that kind of money. I'm eating everything. It's like, Jimmy, have a sandwich. Have a sausage. Jimmy, come on.
Yeah, seriously, Jim. You know, you're looking a little skinny. Ryder Cup skinny. Okay, so, but it was very, you know what, for a tournament that they've moved that tournament back to March. It was in May for 10 years. Prior to that, it was always in March. The golf course plays differently, and I loved it. It was, from about 2:30 on, it was really exciting. I mean, you know, Tiger played pretty well. He'll be off for a couple weeks. The Masters is in 3 weeks' time, and, it was cool.
Yeah, you just how did he come through it physically? Because I know that's always a concern. Did
Who,
you hear
Tiger West?
Yeah,
he's fine.
He is?
Yeah, he's fine.
Because I was thinking she should join the disabled tour.
Yeah, for sure.
He's just always battling something. It seems.
Mm-hmm. I just think it would be weird. Just if Tiger Woods shows up at that dance studio in Moose Jaw, that would be the only. Yeah, don't worry about the dog. Tiger Woods and Burton Cummings show up. Hey, keep the noise down. I'm practicing here. All right, we'll take a quick break. We're going to talk.
No, Tiger wouldn't be there. It was a dance studio, not a,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Massage studio.
The knowledge. What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the Knowledge Society and find out what we don't know. It's Humble and Fred Radio around the world at humbleandfredradio.com. She couldn't fly. It was too late. And we're back. We're going to find out what the Knowledge Society means. Our guest, Nadeem Nathoo, and student Isabel Grandick will also be here. She's already here. She wanted to, she just asked us, you guys have Wi-Fi? And we're like, what's Wi-Fi, man?
Well, do you have a computer? Look at you.
Wow. Isabel, I can't wait to find out what this is.
If it wasn't for Wi-Fi, Lily Soup wouldn't be who she is today.
That's right.
She'd just be soup.
What, I'm sorry, she won't?
She'd just be soup.
Here we go. All right. Let's get everyone comfortable and talk about LFS first.
Hey, if you're a business owner looking to upgrade equipment without tying up existing capital, then LFS Credit and Finance Solutions is your best choice for leases and loans. Doesn't matter what it is. Any piece of equipment, you know, medical, industrial, restaurant equipment, they do it all. You can go to creditfinance.ca and get all the information you need. And how about this? LFS will waive the administration fee from now till the end of March when referring or referencing Humble and Fred. The savings between $150 to $750 depending on the size of the deal. LFS, go to creditfinance.ca.
Very nice. And if you're planning to travel, you know, Phil, as you are, no doubt you've heard, you're going to have to use the Gig Sky or just, you know, forget it. Go to our site. And this is there's a real good deal there, by the way, for the hotspot. The Gig Sky hotspot. Use it in 190 countries for you and 20 of your crew. And if you click on the Gig Sky banner at humbleandfredradio.com, you can grab a hotspot for just $129.99.
Wow.
Yes.
That's value.
$129.99, originally a couple hundred dollars. It's going on for a limited time. If you're you know, traveling with family, group of friends, I think you can hook up like 22 other people onto this.
Absolutely.
It's portable Wi-Fi.
Right. That's it's not just a modem. It's a router.
Exactly.
It gives you so many different ways to connect.
The most affordable, convenient way to keep everyone connected as you can share one data plan across all your devices. So go check it out, the hotspot deal at humbleandfredradio.com, or go find out more at humbleandfredradio.com as well.
Yes.
Are you guys ready to go? Are we all comfortable? Sean, do you want to get everyone settled down here? We'll find out what the Knowledge Society is. Nadeem Nathoo was a consultant advising Fortune 500 CEOs. And then somehow or another, he has got himself involved in this amazing project. Along with Nadeem is Isabel Granick from the Knowledge Society. Woo! Knowledge Society, look at that. Isabel, you're going to love this. We're on Twitch right now. That's right. We're twitching awesome. It up. That's where we're at, technologically speaking. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
And Nadeem, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
We need everybody to talk really, really close into these microphones.
Thank you for having us.
What's the Knowledge Society? What's that all about?
Yes, the idea behind TKS is to completely rethink the way young people learn and develop, right? So my brother and I, fairly early on in life, were fortunate enough to achieve some relative success financially and doing some interesting things. And so that brought us down to Silicon Valley, technological capital of the world, right? Waking up to self-driving cars every single day, and we realized, you know, how the heck did we get here? We're just two kids from Calgary. And by virtue of asking that question, we realized that we were here despite the system that kind of brought us here, right? And I think school is really important, and it has its role, but it's kind of being built for the lowest common denominator now, right? I think we've reached a technological point in history where, you know, the way we access information has changed, the way we communicate with people has changed, our infrastructure has changed, our problems as a civilization have changed, but the way we're kind of developing our young people has stayed relatively the same. And when I thought about, you know, in my traditional networks, like high school and university, people who we wanted to start our next company with, right, I could probably only think of five people who I'd consider working with throughout high school and university. And to me, that was a problem.
But I think you mean people that you already knew?
Yeah, people that I already knew. People who I met, like the thousands of people who I met, right, in high school and university. But when I think about my alternative networks, like organizations like the Next 36, right, or McKinsey or a lot of these places, it was way more. And so I knew that we had to do a better job developing our young people. And I think more importantly, developing our young people to solve really important problems in the world. Not just be like, here's a screwdriver, here's a wrench, get to grade 12 or finish university and be like, okay, now figure out what you want to do with your life. Rather reverse engineer it, right? Be like, here's a problem. Here's something that you should, that you can be passionate about, right? Really develop your passion and then work backwards from there.
Well, that all sounds fascinating, Isabel. Isabella. But I'm still not 100% sure what the Knowledge Society is. Maybe you can explain it.
Yeah, so
right here, bud.
Oh, right here. Okay. The Knowledge Society is like an accelerator for young people where we learn all the skills that school doesn't teach us. So stuff like presenting and building slide decks and things that we just get exposed to real world problems. And
well, I'm sorry, is it a place to learn how to do a TED talk? Is that what you're doing?
I mean, kind of. So basically, everyone's working on really cool projects within different technologies. So I was in a technology called cellular agriculture, which is our ability to make animal products without animals. And just last week, I talked in Vancouver at BC Tech Summit. So we learn about how to present stuff, but we also learn how to be curious and ambitious and just all these different problems and try to apply skills to solving them.
Well, how does this work with regular education? Because do you think the education system basically is failing us?
So I think it does. I think it serves a purpose for a certain type of person. Mm-hmm. And the analogy that I use for TKS is, like, say you wanted to play for the NHL or be an Olympic level swimmer, right? Mm-hmm. You don't just go to gym class and be like, I'm ready to compete, right? You get an amazing trainer and you train. And I don't care if you have one leg. If
you invest in the extra time.
Yeah, if you invest 10,000 hours into swimming, you will be a better swimmer. And what about young people who want to be Olympic level CEOs, innovators, thought leaders, researchers? What institution do you go to get those 10,000 hours? I feel like it doesn't exist today, and that's what TKS is meant to be.
Okay.
And we have a focus on exponential technologies like artificial intelligence, quantum computing, nanotech, all that stuff is the tools that we're eventually going to need in the future to solve important problems.
So is it a school with a tuition and everything?
So there is a tuition to the program.
All right.
There is also financial aid. So if you can't afford the program and you're the right fit, you'll virtually 100% be accepted.
So back to what it is exactly. Something that is you weren't taken out of school, Isabella. Yeah. You were just doing this.
Like alongside.
Alongside of school. You know, it's interesting. Nadeem said something in your opening remarks about, you know, it's like we're at a point in time where people know more about the way the brain learns than we ever have. And the model of how instruction has, and whether it's school or learning a skill, whether it's snowboarding or golf, you know, I've been doing a lot of reading recently about, you know, how golf is a perfect example of how golf is instructed. It was always this: I'll show you how to do it, then you go off and try and do it the way I showed you. What they've re-engineered it now is, I'm going to give you some sort of the basics, but you discover it yourself. You go off and it's self-discovery, and it's learning in a environment where, as you say, you're presented a problem and you solve it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's this whole learning how to learn process,
right? Learn, yes.
So when you think about school right now, some of the things that we teach is like, let me give you the information, you regurgitate it back to me. But when we think about what we need in the real world, it's like problem solving is really important. Communication, collaboration, right? Being able to be resourceful.
Confrontation.
Right? A lot of these things, we're not intentionally kind of putting, you know, in these environments in school. And I think some schools and some teachers definitely do a better job than others. But institutionally, I think we just need
to. Well, that's what it is. And what you just said, that it's, let me read this to you. This is a book a guy wrote about learning to golf. But think about this. Becoming educated is less about knowing the details of a particular skill or fact than about being able to find your own way of creating workable outcomes by using basic core information. That's not how school is.
No.
School is, I give you these facts, you can regurgitate them or not, but you don't really learn them, which is one of the reasons that when it comes to things like, you know, kids can do arithmetic and math until they get to algebra, then they lose it. It's because we're never taught to solve those problems.
And I think the world also needs more thinkers, people that can just, like, there's all these problems that no one has an answer to, and if all we're taught is just to memorize a bunch of stuff and just write it on a test and then forget it the next day, we're not going to be able to solve problems like climate change and drug discovery.
And it's opening those doors. It's like, there's probably a lot of thinkers out there. It's like, you know, how many great scripts never get off a desk, or how many great songs are never recorded. There's probably a lot of thinkers out there. It's just allowing them to think, too. Obviously, this is your process for that.
But you know what I would say is, I actually believe there's not enough thinkers. Yeah. Like, I genuinely really believe that. Because if you think about when you actually have time to think, like, even when you're going to the bathroom, you're still pulling out your phone, watching some sort of YouTube video or Instagram. And you're in the when you're in the shower, some young people are bringing their phones in the shower now. Like, when do you actually have time to think?
You know what I saw recently? I don't know if you've seen this commercial for underwater headphones. Like, how much noise do you need that you can't go swimming without listening to your tunes?
Yeah.
Well, they even have the floating smart speakers now, and they bob in the pool beside you. And
outside of the water, I kind of get it. You want to create a vibe, but you're literally underneath the water, and you need to have some music.
Yeah, you can't be by yourself. So one of the things that I want to highlight about TKS is, like, this isn't cute, right? We started this less than 3 years ago, around 3 years ago now, and our students are being invited to speak at conferences all over the world, right in front of 70,000 people at Web Summit with 70,000 people. We had three students there. We were just at South by Southwest, major conference in the world, right? Four of our students were invited to speak there. The head of Google's Voice, so if you talk to your Google Home or whatever, she's the woman who leads that. Mm-hmm. She popped into the session because she thought this title sounded interesting. She watched the whole thing. She came up to us after, and she was like, I've been coming to South by Southwest for 6 years, and this was the best session, both engagement and content-wise.
Amazing.
And these were 16-year-old kids on stage. They're building projects and solving problems today. One of our students built a device that can non-invasively measure blood glucose and cholesterol levels without penetrating the skin. It's like the holy grail of biometrics. 3 years ago, before he joined the program, he didn't know any of this stuff.
And,
right?
And what was the motivation to go there? Like...
Well, that's part of what we say at TKS is, yeah, like, you need to develop your passion. I think people use this term, find your passion, like you're going to walk around, just find it on the floor and be like, oh, hey, I found my passion, pick it up.
Hold on.
Right? But that's not how it works. It's like, uh-huh, you need to spend time on something that's hard, number one. It's like developing your best friend, right? You meet someone, you go, hey, you're cool. Have some laughs, some cries, climb a mountain, and now they're your best friend. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is actually working on a passion that you're really excited about, right? A problem that you're really excited about. So he got into TKS through, you know, our neuroscience sessions and through our medical device sessions. He realized that medical devices really haven't significantly changed over the last 50 years, like MRI machines in particular. So that's where he started his journey and kind of evolved from there.
Well, let's talk about, too, from the beginning, I know something that everybody's probably thinking. How old are you?
So I'm turning 28.
And you've owned companies and sold companies?
Yeah, so my brother sold a company, and he was leading the AI team at Box down in the Valley. I got into blockchain, a technology called blockchain, fairly early on. So if you're familiar with, like, Bitcoin or Ethereum.
Yeah, I know where you're going. Why is he, he's got all the money he's ever going to need. Why bother with a school? Is that
true? No, I'm just saying. So
this is our life mission, right? Like, we could literally be sitting on a beach doing what we want. With underwater speakers, right? When you think about, and maybe this isn't the best analogy, but if you think about, like, why Elon Musk does the stuff that he does, and I'm not trying to compare myself to Elon Musk, but the impetus behind what he's doing is he's trying to create an exciting future for himself, right? Like, he says this phrase, this quote is, I want to die on Mars, just not on impact, right? Because he just really wants to go there. Like, his goal is, I want to create an exciting future for myself, and I'm not going to sit around and cross my fingers and hope that someone's going to come along to solve these problems. And for me, it's the same thing. Like, I want to create a very exciting future for the world. I want to have impact. I've realized that impact and gratitude are the two biggest things for me personally that give me happiness, right? And I think that gives others happiness, community. And I think education is just the foundation for creating good society. And when we thought about, you know, do we want other people to just solve this problem? Or do we actually want to leave everything and solve this problem?
Well, you know, most people... you know, are born, live, and die without ever having, you know, made much of an impact beyond their own self-preservation. And you're looking at sort of outside thinking to create not only a better world for maybe everybody, but also to engage people like Isabella in a way that you wouldn't have maybe thought you could have even, you know, been engaged.
Yeah, like, I think the Knowledge Society is just a really unique environment with so many smart, driven people, and it's like a community I've never been a part of. And I think being surrounded by people working on really cool projects and the passion is contagious. And it's just something that school, you don't get to experience.
So where do you go? Regular school finishes at 3-something and then you go off to is it like Hogwarts? Is there a thing?
One day.
Is there like a train platform 4.5 somewhere?
No. So every weekend there's a 3-hour session in downtown Toronto in the McKinsey building. And those sessions are based around so many different things. So for example, could be around longevity. So what research is being done to reverse aging? And some sessions are based on...
Yeah, you need to get that off for Humble and Fred sooner than later, okay? Because this is not going well. We're not aging well, okay, Nadine?
I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
We're doing the best we can, but it's not happening.
What do you mean it's going to happen?
There's like a couple different causes of aging, like free radicals or... you know, page therapy can be impacting your body. So what we did is we learned about what the different significant causes of aging were, and then we did a bunch of research in what's happening in the field.
Were one of the causes getting old? Because I don't know if you guys have discovered.
Well, it's like cells.
It seems like. I don't know.
Yeah.
a cellular level, it's basically what's happening to your cells. So what's going on when you have a bunch of different like junk within your cell and outside of your cell? So in your brain, when you're like, as your cells get older, they just get worse at getting rid of the debris. So then you get a whole bunch of extracellular debris within your brain. That's like one of the big causes of Alzheimer's because it piles up in plaque. So then what are companies doing? Like, there's not a lot of people in the space. So we're just getting aware of what's happening.
So you've created this world where young people.
Young people, yeah, 13 to 17 years old.
Are ruminating on these ideas. And then is the plan with the Knowledge Society to develop these people and help them along the way? And eventually, what you get a piece of, I don't even understand. Like, is the business model, Isabella pays to go to school with you?
Yeah, so TKS... The goal isn't to, if we wanted to make money, we could do it in so many other ways.
Yeah,
right?
I apologize, but you understand. 100%. I'm trying to find out what exactly is the model here.
Yeah, the model. I mean, just to keep TKS alive. So we built it in such a way that if no one supported us, if governments didn't support us, if we didn't raise money, you know, if we weren't able to get donations or whatever, we could still survive and we could still grow. Actually, the vision is to completely rethink the way young people learn and develop globally, not just in Toronto. I think we're very fortunate enough in Toronto to have the ecosystem where it made sense to start TKS. But we're expanding to New York, Boston, Ottawa, actually this year, and Vegas, which is a very interesting story that I can tell you about if you want to learn more. Yeah. But
Because of the proximity to Roswell? Are we going to find out finally?
Yeah, no. Actually, it was Tony Hsieh who founded Zappos, which is a billion-dollar company. Amazon acquired it. So we got to know him fairly recently over the last couple of weeks. He's a friend now. And he was like, what can I do? I'll literally do anything to bring TKS down here. So he's funding the whole thing.
Wow.
He's doing marketing for us, all that stuff. He's a great guy.
Well, good for you. That's a fascinating story. And so how many students would you have now?
So we have 100.
Do you call them students?
We call them young people. I think they call themselves like TKS innovators. Yeah. There's kind of this term that's being built. But we have 150 in Toronto. We have 25 in Waterloo. And I think we've had over 300 people kind of go through the program. Our students are getting internships at companies like Microsoft, like RBC, CIBC, leading startups.
How do you decide who the next, if somebody listening wants to get their Isabella in the program? What are the criteria?
Yeah, so there's an application and an interview process at www.thekssociety.com. So THEK, the letter K, society.com. And all we really look for is three main things. I'm kind of giving it away here, but the first is a high degree of curiosity. So what we don't want is someone who's always wanted to be a doctor ever since they were 9 years old, and that's all they've ever wanted to be, right? We want people who love learning, understand they don't know what they don't know. The second thing we look for is ability to take initiative. People who are not expecting to be spoon-fed. So if you just expect to come to TKS, you know, get a lecture and be someone who can eventually, you know, impact billions of people or start a billion-dollar company, then it's not the place for you. Have you actually tried to get knowledge? And then the third is commitment, right? So we kind of honestly scare the crap out of these kids in the interview, and if they still want to do it, then that's probably the right fit for them because it's going to take work, and it is a commitment, and it's a 9 to 10 month program, and so you better be willing to take advantage
of it. But it's the best commitment you can take.
And parents listening, is there a cost associated to it?
Yeah, so right now it's around $500 a month. Maybe $600 a month.
That's nothing.
But I mentioned, if you are the right fit and you get accepted and you can't afford it, you will virtually 100% be accepted into the program.
Well, I'll tell you, just watch that age thing. Can you imagine that? The retirement age will be like 104 and your RSPs will have to last for like
I've only put enough money away to live 18 more months. So please figure something out. It's quite interesting. The Knowledge Society, THEK
Society.com? Yep.
All right. Here's something I picked out on the weekend. I didn't know you were coming in here, but I think it applies.
Cool.
It says, you don't decide your future. You decide your habits, and your habits decide your future. So keep doing great things.
Totally.
And make a great habit out of being. Look at you. Look at you.
Yep.
What do you want to do now?
What I want to do?
You want to make food out of...
Basically, I'm working on trying to, like, revamp the whole food industry. Because for so long, we've just been using animals, and they're just a big contributor to climate change. And we always thought, like, okay, you get clean energy, and we'll solve the problem. But that's only 25% of the issue. And what I think is crazy is that we literally have no solution to it. And then I stumbled upon this thing called cultured meat, which is our ability to take a stem cell and proliferate it in a specific environment to trigger the same chemical reactions so that the cell can grow into real muscle tissue.
Wow. Like, you know, like a lot of 15-year-olds. You know,
casual.
Like, 6 months ago, I had no idea what this was. I didn't even know what the artificial intelligence or blockchain was, and it was completely the Knowledge Society that exposed me to so many different exciting technologies. And if
Were you a good student in regular school, or are you a good student?
Yeah, I still am a good student. I was a good student, too. Just... for me, my life didn't feel fulfilled because, like, every day doing math homework or, like, English or whatever, like, it just wasn't exciting. But to be able to come home and just, like, sit on my computer and just learn all the time, it's a different fulfillment in my head. And I think I don't know what I want to do when I'm older. I just find a lot of stuff really interesting.
Well.
And 6 months ago, I had no idea what any of this is. So everything's very new to me, and I'm just learning, and it's very fun.
Well, that's a great spokesman for the Knowledge Society.
It wasn't planned.
Do you know who Lily Singh is?
Yeah.
Yeah. We were just talking about Lily Singh last hour.
She's
that,
awesome.
Well, she's one of those people in the modern world that a lot of people our age would have no idea who she is.
Right.
But she might be one of the biggest stars from Canada.
From Toronto,
From Toronto. And yet, most Canadians of a certain age would have no idea who she is.
Right.
But
that, you know. Well, you know what's interesting? One of the things that we say at TKS is the only way to achieve unconventional success is to follow an unconventional path. Like, you can expect to do the same thing as everybody else and achieve a different result. And that's just not financial success. That's health. That's relationships. Like, whatever's important to you. And we talk about Lily Singh. Like, she took the most unconventional path, right? She had immigrant parents who didn't really understand what she was doing. She was just on YouTube all the time, filming with, like, a webcam. And now, all of a sudden, she has her own late-night show, right? Which is pretty awesome.
Right.
Although, you know, just quickly about that. She would have... I was kind of trying to describe to these guys. She would have hundreds of millions of views and followers. Why does she want to be on NBC television at 1:30 in the morning where she would have, honestly, under a million viewers? Maybe half that. It seems like an odd move for her. But
nowhere near a million viewers.
And yet, every one of her videos.
I think she just enjoys what she does, and I think that's what's really important.
It's trying something new.
Yeah.
No, maybe.
And it also helps her break into the mainstream, right? Because until this point, she's been kind of a YouTube.
Well.
Oh yeah.
I don't think it should be for the money. So.
Oh no.
No, she's not doing that for the money.
No, it's just for her personal entertainment. I think TKS also just, like, it's more than just a tech, like, sort of community where we're learning about emerging technologies and a whole bunch of stuff. It's also developing gratitude and kindness and all these mental models to help us just become better people in general. So it's, like, it's just crazy, like, the community that we're in, and we're always helping each other and always having gratitude and always just, we're always there for each other. And I think that's something that is very rare in the world.
Fantastic.
Unfortunately.
But even Lily Singh, I mean, just being in New York and being at NBC, what an experience for that kid.
Yeah.
Or
and
woman.
And congratulations to you, Isabella Grandich, as I pronounce that right?
Grandich, yeah.
Grandich?
Yeah.
And Nadim, what a world you're creating.
Appreciate it.
If you guys do figure out this old age thing, could you come and just give us some of the deer antler serum or whatever.
So you know what you should look up? You should look up Elysium Bioscience. There's actually a pill that you can take called NAD+. It won't harm you for sure, but it's something that's been linked to improving lifespan. And then you should also look into a company called Celularity. So Peter Diamandis started the XPRIZE. He invested $100 million into this thing, and he thinks he's going to live till 160, and he's like 6 years old.
We're sort of looking for something to take us out of our misery.
Yeah, I was just going to say we've lived long enough. We're tired. Yeah. We're just tired old men.
Hey man, just go into virtual reality then. Oh, that's what I would say.
We're in virtual reality.
Really?
Right now.
Yeah, this is
we need another hour for that one.
This Humble and Fred thing, this is just happening in a different dimension. The Knowledge Society, everybody. We'll be right back.
In the flesh, I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address in the torn up town.
No, it's great to have you all with us. It's Humble and Fred Radio. A lot of stuff going on in the studio / house today. Yeah, I got a lot of, you know, it's been interesting living here and also owning the business here, because there's some stuff that would be like, oh, that doesn't really affect me because it's just me in my own house versus stuff that affects us. you know, for instance, not having a place for people to go to the washroom can be an issue. You know, when you're running a business.
Oh, I know. So often people come in here and go, oh, where's the washroom? Now we're going to have to say outside.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, what I was thinking, though, I would have Sean escort them through the residence to the spare bathroom. But I'd rather not, to be honest with you.
No. Then you'd have to go up there and clean the bathroom.
It's fine. It's clean. I mean, it's guest ready.
Okay.
But I just don't want people traipsing through my house.
I get it.
Welcome back, everybody. We're live on Funny 820. What a great organization. Hamilton's, Burlington's, the Niagara Falls. What? Flamborough. Flamborough. We really do appreciate everybody listening in the Golden Horseshoe area. I have a cute story for you after we talk about the chamber plan. I was talking to somebody involved in the radio business.
Yeah.
On the weekend, on Friday or something, or Thursday or Friday, he called me and was surprised we were still in the business.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Do I know?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh. All right, Canada.
Yes.
Canada's number one plan for employee benefits. The Chamber Plan is Canada's leading group benefit plan for firms with, say, 1 to 100 people. Go to chamberplan.ca and get a free quote. You can find out how you can join 30,000 other Canadian businesses to become part of the Chamber Plan. It makes purchasing health and dental insurance that much more affordable, and there's a ton of other products, believe me. So if you have a small business, go to chamberplan.ca, get a free quote, see how it can work for you.
For you and your nice people. All right. If you're wondering how others are experiencing cannabis, it's legal now, even though it's still in Ontario. You know, you can't go to a store. Although in Hamilton, up until a couple weeks ago, you could. And all these sweet dispensaries. Anyway, StrainPrint is a free companion app. Download it, Apple or Google Play. And find out the highest standard of data, medical encryption, and what it means for your cannabis experience. Find out what other people are doing, whether it's inflammation, migraines, whatever it is that you are looking to treat. StrainPrint has the information, and it's growing exponentially. Every day, more people are taking part and finding a better way to use cannabis. StrainPrint.ca. StrainPrint.ca. Follow them on Twitter or Instagram at StrainPrint, also on Facebook. Pretty interesting stuff that those two human beings we had in our studio this morning, Fred.
Yeah.
Different world they're building. And, mm-hmm. I thought of your grandkids. You know, they're about to, I mean, Johnny's now, I think, in his third year of school, and May's about to start.
Yeah. No, well, she's in JK.
She's in JK.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they touched on it briefly, and one of the things I found fascinating is I got a chance to interview this guy. I've interviewed him twice now, and I've read his book. And he was a traditional golf instructor. In fact, one of the most celebrated in the world. He's one of the first PGA of America master professionals. Guy's like in his late 70s. But 30, 40 years ago, he was considered one of the best traditional golf instructors there was. He was like as famous as Ledbetter and all these guys. And then he went back to school. He went to Harvard, and then he started researching how the brain works. And he completely turned around the way he instructs the game. Because, like, the example I'll use is, you're a pretty coordinated guy. Like, you're able to throw a bocce ball and have it...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can throw a ball, mm-hmm. you can play hockey, you're not, and most people have a fairly, you know, decent level of coordination because we all walk. And then you look at how you sort of picked up the game of golf. This is one of the reasons that I wanted you to, or anybody listening, would, if you've got a grandkid or a son that's, or a daughter that's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, golf's a tough game to learn when you're a grown up for a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons it's easier as a kid is the way your brain works when you learn as a child. And so this guy that I interviewed, his name is Michael Hebron, and I've interviewed him twice in the space of a couple months, and in the meantime read some of his stuff. It's amazing, because now he doesn't teach that way anymore. He doesn't teach, like, you know, even something as simple as, Fred, here's how you should hold a golf club. You know, most kids, they just pick it up and they just find a way to put their hands on it.
Mm-hmm.
And through trial and error... Like, no, I don't remember anybody, and you could tell me if it was different for you. Nobody ever showed me how to throw a spiral with a football. I mean, I got a tip. Somebody once told me that if you get your fingers on the seam, it's easier.
Yeah.
But it was just through doing it.
Right. And that's pretty straightforward and basic compared to holding a golf club.
Is it, though?
Well, yeah, because there's something. Not to divert you here. You know what I mean? You grab the ball and you said, here, you put your fingers on the. But a golf club, I mean, from your whole body to the end of that club, there's a lot more going on.
Yeah, but same with the dairy. But no one really taught me how to hit a tennis ball back over the net. Mm-hmm. No one taught you. The point is, there's other ways to learn. And now your kids are starting the traditional, you know, the traditional way of learning, which is outside in, which is remember all these facts and then you'll be smart. Whereas that young lady there was talking like somebody that has been learning stuff a little bit on her own, you know, like has discovered it on her own, which is,
well, that's a lot of self-motivation there.
Oh yes.
But what bothers me, not bothers me, I don't know what, just through our school structure now, how do you open that mind? Because there's probably a lot of kids like that that never get to the point that she is because they're just never motivated. And is it a motivation thing? Is it the responsibility to somebody else to open that up?
Or, oh, absolutely.
Or just does it happen naturally? I don't know.
Like when you go through grade school, it's all about rote, right? Trying to learn the alphabet and then multiplication tables. You can't really explore from there, can you, when you think of it?
Well, mm-hmm. There's not a lot of room in the education model. There's not a lot of room for someone like... You know, because you got 30 kids in a class. Like, so what if Johnny one day decides, you know, I'm really interested in this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, too bad, because you need to be interested in these facts, and if you don't learn them,
right,
you can't get what we give you. We can't get the grade that you're supposed to get.
Right. You know, and it's another way to look at the good, bad of, I don't even want to say social media, but screen time. I mean, there's a lot that can be discovered during screen time, if used properly.
Absolutely.
That you can't get at school. It's just funneling kids to go the right way once they're behind the screen.
And there's web companies that try to buckle that trend, like Skillshare, for example. I think there's a company that offers, you know, lessons from an astronaut or a chef, for example. So it just depends on where you're going, basically, online.
Yeah. Anyway, excuse me. Like I said, for the last couple months, I've been reading a lot about, you know, how the model of learning is so counter to actually learning something. You know, and I've spent my whole life, like, I've been getting golf lessons since I was 11 years old. And sure, I was lucky because the guy that taught me how to hold a golf club, my dad, put my hands on it in a fairly traditional, you know, what it will be a... The right way, I say that in quotation marks, because, you know, who am I to say that the way that you're holding it is wrong for you? But you wouldn't think that because you think, oh, I'm not doing it right.
Well, that's been one of the biggest turnoffs for me over the years. It's like, do this, do that, do that. Think about this. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm sorry, but I don't want to invest that much time in it.
Absolutely.
And then the results speak for themselves. But again, you decide, am I in this to be really good, or am I in this to have fun, or am I in this to be with my buddies, you know?
Yeah, and what is... That's such an interesting thing you say, because what is really good? If you're enjoying it, isn't that good enough?
But you know, when it's like, watch, you know, your back's not straight enough, your arms are...
all that stuff.
I can't keep up with this.
Yeah. Is it a golf lesson or a piano lesson?
Are you saying there's new techniques to that?
Well, I'm saying that if you've ever... The odd time when you and I have played, or I've played with people like, you know, like you at your level, and I'll just tell them something simple. I never tell them anything about your arms need to be here, or I just give you a little sort of... minor things, like maybe the ball's too far forward or it's too far back. But ultimately, if you spent some time playing around with it, the same way when I remember there was a school at the end of my street, no one gave me a tennis lesson, but I just liked the idea of hitting a tennis ball against the side of the wall. I just liked that feeling, you know. So no one ever taught me. I just screwed around with it. Same with, you know, have you ever played ping pong?
Oh, yeah.
That little cut shot where you just kind of cut it so it just gets over the net? Well, no one ever taught me that. I just played around with it. And all I'm saying is golf is... People need to learn it like that, where you just play around on your own. Like you mentioned the other day, you said something about, well, you know, this summer you might go to Mayfield in the afternoon and join up with some guys. I promise you, you'll learn more like that than if you read an article about, you know, where your back should be and your left arm as it comes. I mean... Again, that's what those kids are talking
about. The only challenge with golf, from my perspective and my experience, which isn't a lot, I could take a kid with a football and teach him how to throw a spiral within 20 minutes. Probably. I could take a kid on a tennis court and probably have a back and forth rally probably within a half an hour.
Oh, yes.
None of that applies to golf.
I don't know about that.
Well, yeah.
I could take your grandson up to a green and mm-hmm. give him a putter, and he'd eventually start banging right. the ball toward the hole and figure out on his own, one was too hard, one was too mm-hmm. soft. Oh, if I just hit it this hard, it gets closer to the hole.
Right.
This is what I'm saying. This is all by way of saying it's interesting. These kids are that whole knowledge. What is it called?
Knowledge society.
See? Hmm. That whole concept is learning to learn in a different way, and you could see how interested she was in the stuff. Whereas if you were told, okay, everyone, today we're going to talk about biochemistry, and you're like, I don't want to because it has no interest to me.
Right. Well, I mean, you look at the industry that we ended up building careers in or through. I was the same way. I mean, when I went to school, you didn't learn about radio.
No, no.
You didn't learn about Marconi. You didn't learn about the intricacies of the business. You had a passion. So I learned a lot of that stuff on my own.
Absolutely.
Before I even had the desire to go and take a course. You know what I mean?
It's a very personal thing, isn't it? Yeah. You have to have an interest in it. Like, I could tell you the capital of East Timor. I'm a geography guy. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't tell you how to create a cure for cancer.
Anyway, no, they do fascinating. That young fella, he's sort of on top of it, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's got a brain.
What are you saying there, Sean?
Sean!
By the way, she spoke. Before we're done, Sean's going to tell you about butter tarts.
Yes.
Please continue.
No, I was just going to say, the way she was presenting herself and speaking was very mature for her age. But I found, like, I went to Montessori school for elementary school before high school. And she was very much like that means of just curiosity and focused on different parts of education versus, I don't know, go hang out with my friends or play my video games. Like, she was, that was interesting to me. It was more that focus on herself, her own goals.
I don't know if I had kids nowadays, if my children were young, I don't know what I'd want them, because just going to school to get a degree, to have a certificate, is useless now as a daisies. I mean, look at your son.
More often than not.
Danny took a long time to find what it is he really wanted to do. And when he did, he's made himself super successful. But, of course, because he's passionate about it.
And you look at the default career now, which I often call teaching. A lot of kids go into university, have no idea what they want to be, so they end up being a teacher.
Yeah.
Like, even here in Ontario now, they're saying, like, you know, 800 teachers aren't going to be fired, but through retirement
attrition, I think they call it?
Yeah. They'll lose 800 spots. So, well, that means 800 kids that are now going to teachers' college don't have a job to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the point is, a lot of that comes from just taking courses where there's really nothing there, and that's sort of an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
Where kids nowadays, I really think, have to take something. You know, take something distinct, like a trade or a service. Or,
oh, yes. My cousin Mike graduated from George Brown to be a network engineer.
Yeah.
And then he found out that all the jobs were taken. Like, he couldn't just go up to Markham and say, hey, IBM, you want some help? Nope. He manages a pharmacy now, and he loves it. But out of all things in the world.
Hey, Sean, take the Nadim and Isabella off Phil, because I think people are getting confused that Phil's changed his name to Nadim.
Hi, my name's Nadim. Assalamu alaikum.
Hey, Phil, while you have a second here, while you're on a roll, can you tell us what we need to know today about FYI Music News?
Absolutely. FYI Music News is your ultimate source when it comes to Canadian music and the music industry. Go to fyimusicnews.ca and subscribe to the newsletter, because it offers a tightly written digest of key events and news of the day in Canada and beyond at the start of each workday. It also features some wonderful music. Today's track of the day, by the way, happens to be the Headstones. They covered The Wreck of the Edmunds Fitzgerald.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone, you know, it's funny. Sean sent it to me. I'd seen it before. It's really...
Mm.
It's a cool version of the song, although it's not quite as long as the original.
No, it's only four something.
Yeah, the original is 25 minutes.
Very similar, but
yeah, very similar.
His voice is like a
It's cool.
It's cool.
But should I play that? I guess I should.
It's a wonderful track. The Headstones. Anyways, FYIMusicNews.ca. You've got interesting news and bits like that, and you'll always discover new music on FYIMusicNews.ca.
Here you go. Here's our friends, the Headstones. I wonder what Gord thinks of this. I mean, Gordon Lightfoot. Okay, not just my buddy Gord. All right. I mean, it's okay.
I love it.
Do you? Let's not get carried away.
I'm a Headstones fan, though.
That's I am, too. Cool. Listen, we've had him on the show for years. I love, what's his name?
I bet you I played that 10 times this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Just when I first heard it, I was blown away.
Fits right in with the Irish music on Sundays.
It's okay. The only thing is, it's not that I don't like this version of the song. It's just that the song isn't much. There's not much to it.
No. What do you mean, not much to it? This one or the song?
The song in general. It's like they're covering a song that just kind of is repetitive.
Yeah, but that's an amazing story.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It is.
Yeah. So what part did they cut out? The part where...
I don't know exactly, to be honest, because I didn't listen to Gordy's version at all. This weekend, I can't remember.
Yeah, Gordon Lightfoot's version, I think, is close to 8 minutes long.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Like there's solo guitar in the middle and stuff.
Because when that thing drones on.
When I first saw they had done a cover, I thought, oh man, you did a cover that's 7 minutes long. And then when I saw it was 4 minutes, I thought, oh.
Yeah, it's.
That's thinking.
4:46, yeah.
The wreck abridged.
And again, I know people were like, oh, I love this version. The song itself. I always was just a little. I just found it droned on and on.
Again, it's subjective. Yep. It's music.
Would I love the Headstones to come in here and play it? Yes. It's cool. Hey, it's Butter Tart Boy.
Yeah, that's me.
Butter Tart.
So I heard from Sean. He sent me this song. Wanted to make sure we'd seen it. Actually, a listener sent it to us.
A listener sent it to us. I kind of noticed that after I was already listening to it and. I'd been listening to it for about a few days, I think, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, he sent it to us, and good for him. I don't remember who it was, but thank you.
Yeah, and then you sent it over, and I'd heard it already. And again, everyone was talking about it, and it's a wonderful version of the song. It's just...
I'll send Buddy Doug over to knock on his door.
Yeah.
He's neighbors with you, Dylan. Knock on his door and get him to come in here.
What was the Butter Tart Festival all about in Georgetown this weekend?
Well, I was in Orangeville, actually.
Orangeville!
Yeah, I made the trip out super far into the country. Well, that's not that far. 10 minutes or so. And, right? 10 minutes
what
away.
Is that detail?
Super far
super
into the country.
What does that detail matter, then?
Because Orangeville is, like, really more farmers than us Georgetown folk, I want to say.
Really? So,
yeah. Huh? Lots more cows.
Did you hear what happened? He's like, to Georgetown people, the Orangeville people are hicks.
Oh.
That's awesome.
You go to play lacrosse or you go, you know, toil some soil or have some fun.
Sure. So, and the butter tarts were great, and you, do you have anything to report? Have they made it? What's the innovation in butter tarts these days?
It was actually, there was a lot of different things. Like, you could get a cheesecake floating inside your butter tart.
You could
get, like, they had creme brulee butter tart, cherry coconut butter tarts, everything and anything.
Do you like butter tarts?
Yes, I do. My grandmother used to make them. I love them. I'm very, like I am with my curry, I'm very...
Particular, yeah.
Particular. I don't... all the stuff with... That's not a butter tart with a cherry and a cheese. That's not a butter tart. Butter tart, you know, sometimes with walnuts, sometimes with raisins.
Mm.
And not too super sweet, which is difficult, but...
not
then,
too full.
And then the pastry's got to be nice.
Oh, yes. Flaky.
Mm-hmm. But that was the thing. It was just endless amounts of tables of
You know, over the years, people have brought butter tarts in here because we've talked about butter tarts, and I talked about my grandmother's, and it's, they, oh, these are the best ever, and you eat them, and you go, well, okay.
Yeah.
Again, to, maybe to you, but...
If you, the best time in a butter tart, in the life of a butter tart, is if you can get the inside... Warm but not hot.
Like you gotta watch that.
Yeah, sometimes it gets too hot if you warm it up.
20 seconds in a microwave could burn your mouth out.
Yeah,
lava.
Yeah. So if you get the, as long as the inside hasn't turned to lava, tart lava.
It is sugar after all, right?
And the outside is just warm, then it's perfect. Then you get a cold glass of milk, and that's the best. Other than that, whatever.
What I have done the odd time with a butter tart, if you take just one little square of, say, milk chocolate, and then put it on and then put it in the microwave.
So that was a lot of them, was milk chocolate or something on top. But I'd say my favorite one, one I wasn't expecting, was a little apple mixed in with it. It actually gave a pretty
very nice,
interesting apple butter flavor there. That
That's not too...
good. Winter, Christmas.
Not too far.
Not too far.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's our show. We got to go. I got to go. I have a doctor's appointment. We got to put toilets overflowing. Our good friend from iTex, Mike Muzzin, just popped in. I haven't got time. There's no time. I got to go, man.
I don't need any. I'm good.
Thanks to the Knowledge Society. Love to follow up with those people, see what that's all about. Maybe they want to invest in a... podcast done by two aging hipsters.
Yeah, we never got around to talking about the horrible tragedy in New Zealand either over the weekend, because there was a question I was going to ask you about that. We'll save that for tomorrow.
Tenakoto.
Mm-hmm.
Tenakoto. That's their native language in New Zealand. Maori.
Okay, and Phil, you know, hopefully we'll solve the problem as to when you can go see your wife.
Yeah.
So that your wiener doesn't get, I don't know.
It's frozen right now.
All right.
This episode, it's a butter tart. This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, LFS Credit and Finance Solutions, Green Genie SEO, and our newest sponsor, Rainmaker PR. We broadcast to the world from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.